Good Thursday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A month ago, the smart money in Washington said NAFTA was dead. Last night, President Clinton's all-out, high-stakes fight for House passage paid off. In the end, there were 16 votes to spare. For a president accustomed to cliffhangers, that was a landslide, and the champagne flowed at the White House.
Tonight's vote is a defining moment for our nation. At a time when many of our people are hurting from the strains of this tough global economy, we chose to compete, not to retreat.
This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. The NAFTA vote in the House was a big win for President Clinton, but it was also a big win for the bipartisan coalition that delivered it. Republican leaders promised 120 votes. They delivered 132. Democratic NAFTA supporters exceeded their goal of 100 by two. After the vote, supporters were all smiles and compliments. House Republican Whip Newt Gingrich.
The president's statement where he took the unions on head on was such a show of courage on his part that it said to a lot of our guys, hey, if he's going to take that kind of risk, how am I going to live with myself if I don't stand up for what I believe in?
For NAFTA opponents, it was a difficult defeat. Democratic Whip David Bonnier said there was a lot of influence and power against them, and in the end, it showed.
I'm not shocked, but I'm disappointed. But I think we made a good fight, and we stood up for the things that we believed in.
NAFTA now goes to the Senate, where approval is expected to come more easily than it did in the House. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell left a White House meeting this morning saying Democrats will heal their NAFTA wounds and put the 103rd Congress into the history books.
It will in fact be and will be seen as one of the most productive first sessions in recent times, one of the best first sessions for a president's first year in office.
Those cheering NAFTA supporters are American business people in Mexico City, who stand to be a lot busier now. More from correspondent Bill Whitaker.
American businessman Richard Bernier watched the NAFTA vote on TV in Mexico City. The outcome was exactly what he wanted.
I'm saying that we're going to do more business now.
Se están cumpliendo así.
President Salinas went on national TV last night to tell the nation that NAFTA would be both an opportunity and a challenge. At Mabe, a Mexican company that makes GE gas ranges, managers say they are confident the plant's workers can compete with Americans. But at the small Plath electric transformer company, managers fear they will be forced out of business by high-quality American goods. Despite some short-term pain, most Mexicans seem to believe that NAFTA ultimately will benefit Mexico. President Salinas staked his reputation on it. His next and bigger hurdle will be to turn the promise of NAFTA into the economic development everyone here wants so much. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Mexico City.
This is Barry Bagnato in Seattle. For President Clinton, the next domino is building closer trade ties with Asia. He heads here today for important discussions with leaders representing 14 other Pacific Rim economies. Canada's International Trade Minister Roy McLaren says the NAFTA vote shows the U.S. rejects protectionism, but he warns that Canada still wants the agreement changed.
We want to seek reassurance and be certain that we're all marching to the same drum, as it were, marching in the same direction. That will be for further discussion.
Secretary of State Warren Christopher hailed the House's action, saying it strengthens the president's hand.
This was a real Clinton landslide, a real vote of confidence in America's future.
But expanding Pacific trade channels won't be easy. Human rights differences, market barriers, and fears of U.S. dominance stand as obstacles. The president hopes at the very least to gain support here for concluding a new world trade pact by mid-December, the key domino in his free trade game plan. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Seattle.
Travelers at Washington's National Airport found themselves this morning in the middle of a labor fight. American Airlines flight attendants went on strike nationwide this morning after negotiations broke down in New Orleans. And the pilots are voting whether to join them. Some flights were canceled today, and the union says the walkout will last through Thanksgiving weekend. KRLD newsman Steve Coriel is at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
According to Wally Pitts of the Pilots Union, the union that represents Americans' pilots, some of the airline's pilots are not waiting for a formal vote of the pilots to be taken and have already refused to fly some flights around the system.
I've received some reports that some of the flight crews, the pilots, have not shown up for work today. Apparently there was some that got on an airplane and got off.
Other information we've heard out here but can't independently confirm is that replacement flight attendants are being told to wear street clothing and not uniforms in the terminal and on the flights that they're flying, and that if a flight is canceled, It is merely taken off the monitors inside the terminal, and the word cancel is not being put up on the screen.
The United Mine Workers Union and the Bituminous Coal Operators Association reportedly have settled key issues behind a six-month strike by some 17,000 miners in seven states, but they have not settled the fate of UMW members accused of strike violence. The Senate voted this morning 76-21 to revive the independent counsel investigations while restricting future counsels from writing final reports in such blunt language as was used to describe Edwin Meese and the Iran-Contra scandal. It's coming up on 6 minutes past the hour.
Here at Schnitzer Steel, we grind up about 3 cars a minute, or between 600 and 1,000 cars every day. We've shredded over 3 million cars in 20 years.
Gary Schnitzer is a third-generation auto dismantler, and he's very good at what he does.
Steel, aluminum, zinc, copper, they all have resale value. And we even get all the nickels, dimes, and quarters that people drop between their seats.
We asked Gary about General Motors cars.
They've been very good to me over the years.
No, Gary, the new General Motors cars. Over the past 3 years, GM has equipped more cars with anti-lock brakes than anyone, and they even developed an engine for Cadillac that goes 100,000 miles without a tune-up.
100,000 miles?
What does Gary Schnitzer think of GM's changes?
There's a trend here, and it's not good for my business.
See all that's new at your Chevrolet, GMC truck, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and Cadillac dealer. And ask about value pricing. Models loaded with options for a low sticker price that reduce the hassle.
Watch it there. Scrap metal coming in.
A day after the UN dropped him from its most wanted list, Somali warlord Mohamed Farah Aidid appeared before a big crowd in Mogadishu today, his first such public appearance since June. Reuters correspondent Aidan Hartley was there.
There was certainly a spontaneous outpouring of emotion by a much larger crowd than usual. Gunmen had to beat crowds back as he walked down a parting in the mob, and they were absolutely frenzied to see Aidid up on a dais, a podium in a broken stadium in central Mogadishu for the first time since around about June 17th. When he made his last public appearance.
Leaders of Bosnia's warring factions are meeting in Geneva for the first time in almost 2 months, not about peace, but about how to feed and shelter 3 million civilians while they spend the winter fighting. British electrical engineer Michael Smith, who spent 20 years as a Soviet spy, was sentenced in London today to 25 years in prison. He was fingered by none other than his longtime KGB handler. Near Warwick, England, 10 children and a teacher were killed today when their van hit a truck and caught fire. Despite polls showing crime at the top of voters' minds, the Senate version of the crime bill may be hung up until next year. The sticking point is handgun control under the Brady Bill. Police in Madison, Illinois say 5 men were shot dead yesterday at a trailer park, and the motive isn't clear, but the area is known for drugs. Republican strategist Ed Rollins has gone before a federal grand jury in Newark on efforts he described, and then disavowed, to suppress black voter turnout in this month's New Jersey gubernatorial election. One of David Koresh's followers, Marjorie Thomas, says in a deposition that cult members agreed to commit suicide in the event of his death. No one else in the compound has backed the FBI claim of a suicide pact. Another crack in the rock. According to the New York Times, top Prudential Insurance executive Mark Jorgensen has accused the company of systematically defrauding institutional investors in a real estate fund. The Washington Post reports that New York, California, and 21 other states have formed a task force on cable TV pricing. Consumers groups claim the industry is exploiting loopholes in the new law designed to lower rates. Overseas, the dollar is higher. London gold up almost $3. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down over 19 points. It's 10 past.